You know what I do about...
All right, so much excitement of the year. We're about to start a new sugya, not just a new sugya, a whole new mishnah. Like for us, that's like after Sefer Shechiyanu. We haven't seen a mishnah since the beginning of Chodesh Elul. So the new mishnah begins by telling us a couple of odds and ends, an important piece of information about the mazik. And one of the things that appears in the mishnah about mazik is the mishnah starts to list off the different types of nechasim that are subject to the Pasha Mazik altogether. Mm-hmm. So the Mishnah talks about Nechasim She'ein Behem Me'ila. So you have to have something, you have to have a property. The only time we're dealing with the Pasha Mazik in Nizuk is only if the property is something that Ein Behem Me'ila, that there is no Me'ila subject to it. What in the world is Me'ila means? Me'ila is the Psukim and Pashas Me'ikra, that are generally synonymous with Kachim, something which is the Dava Shal Kodesh, something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Something can belong to the Beis HaMikdash in multiple ways. Something can belong to the Beis HaMikdash because it was designated as a carbon to be brought in the Mizbeach. As Kedush Mizbeach, something can belong to the Beis HaMikdash because it was dedicated as Nichsei Bedek Kabayis. It's going to be used to fix up the Beis HaMikdash. A guy is Makdish a piece of wood to the Beis HaMikdash. Wood is Bedek Zemik. You maybe use that in the Mizbeach. A guy is Makdish some gold to the Beis HaMikdash. They're not going to offer it on the Mizbeach, but they're going to use it for other kinds of things. So there are many, many different ways for something to become Kodesh. The Mishnah comes and says that, by the way, you should just know that the dinim of Mazikin don't apply to things that have Me'ila to them, which is another way of saying things that are Kodesh. So hopefully, I don't know whether we're ever going to get to this enough yet. It's probably going to be past the end of June's month, July's month, August's month, whatever it is. But the Gemara talks about some of the intricacies as to, do you ever have a korban that doesn't have Me'ila and is a subject to Nezikin or not? Again, that's not really our sugi right now. That's Kachim Kalon sugi. That's later on, that's yet days. But we're just learning the ABCs. We're mamish at the very, very basic beginning of the sugya, and we want to know, where did all of this come from? What is the source for this halacha that kachim are mufkoim from the din of mazik? Where do you know? We state in the chumash that there's no din of mazik when you go with nechta hekdesh. So comes Rashi on the spot and fills in the gaps for us. So Rashi says, Nechasim she'eim me'ila. Chloima, says Rashi. Imizakti nechasim she'eim me'ila. If I was mazik something that doesn't have me'ila to it, and I chayav l'shalit, so then I'm chayav to pay. Aval mizakti nechte hektesh, but the opposite of ein lo me'ila, if I was mazik something that's hektesh, ein chayav, so then I'm not chayav to pay. How do you know that all of this is true? The nafkalon kulu nezikin mishore ehu. This is all derived from one phrase, from two words, shore ehu. Says the Chumash and Bashas Mishpat, the Chigav Shavish, Shor Re'eyu. Re'eyu, like it means, is there any reason why it's so hot in here? Is there a way to turn this? Is there a way to turn down the heat? No. There's no way to adjust the heat, right? There's no way to open the windows in here, is there? Not even a chance, right? So we're stuck, okay. No? Is there a window that opens here? Well, who knows what's going to happen? The place may. You can open the door. Am I the only one who says that, Rehanya? Possible. Then. Okay. So we'll open the doors, okay. Forget about it, you're not going to open the window. It's going to connect it to the, it's going to set up, trigger off of Gunnar's floor. Okay. I can already feel the breeze, okay. Wow. Okay, of course there's the wall that's mopsing the breeze, but it's a nice idea. Okay, good. Great. Okay. So how do you know any of this is true? Because the Torah speaks about being an animal damaging shor re'ehu. So the word re'ehu always has the connotation of the matter hektish. Remember, we have this in many, many places. Where else do we find in Shas this idea that re'ehu exempts hektish? Nowhere. By chomet shel chota ro'e. Okay, by kefo, you mean by paying kefo. You don't pay kefo to hektish because yishalim shnayim re'ehu. There's no shvua on, right? There's no shvua on hektish min ha-Torah because of re'ehu. There's no onor, because it's not going to direct re'eu. So again, re'eu is a general term that always comes to exclude hektish. So to over here, Rashi says that there's no din of mazik as a hektish being chayev because it says re'eu. Now, of course, there's a big problem with Rashi. What's the big problem with Rashi? There's a problem, in a sense, an extension with the Mishnah, that Rashi in the Mishnah took a posuk that was written in a very, very specific mazik and used it as a source to branch out to discuss all the mazikin, because the Mishnah talks about all mazikin. This Mishnah is not talking about Bor or Shor or Shane or whatever. It's talking about everything. It's a general statement about mazik, and the Mishnah is telling us mazik is a hektish potter. But wait a second. If the pasuk is written in a very, very specific case, what gives us the right to begin to extrapolate to other cases as well? What was the specific case that the Mishnah was talking about? That the pasuk is talking about? Anyone looked up the pasuk? Anyone opened up Pashas Mishpatim? It's talking about Karen. It's talking about Shotam and Shamu. It's talking about Karen. How do you know? Just because by Karen there's a tour of Hekdesh, how do you know by Shane Varegel? How do you know by H? How do you know by Adam Amar? How do you know anything? So it's a little bit of a problem. What prompted Rashi to believe, somehow to see, that the phrase Shoreyu is the giveaway, that's the pasuk somehow, that's the engine that's driving the entire sugya? So you can't really, you know, pick on Rashi for this. Rashi pretty much got the hint from the Gemara in Bava Kamma early on, Davav Amabez. There's something about the Shach B'tai and Davav that led Rashi to believe that this is in fact a Mocho, even though again it's a little bit striking. What gives us the right to extrapolate so quickly? So Rashi got it from the Gemara in Davav Amabez. Hopefully we'll get to see them in Ramakamos. It's a short sugi, there weren't so many in Ramakamos. Hopefully we'll get to see them all. There's a Gemara in Davav Amabez that discusses how to learn Taich, how to learn Pshat in the word Meitav. We spent a lot of time last week talking about Meitav. What does Meitav mean? So Meitav, Sadeh, Meitav, Kam, Yisham, is of course one of those phrases in Chumash that is a what? Is ambiguous who?
Pronoun.
An ambiguous pronoun. There you have it. Okay? English 101. What's the ambiguous pronoun about it? Because there are two players in the story. There's the Mazik and there's the Nizak, and then the Torah concludes and says, and by the way, Meitav Sadeu, Meitav Karmo Yishalem. The problem is, Meitav Sadeu of who? Meitav Karmo of who? Who is the owner of this Sada or of this Karim? So there's a Machlekes Atzinoim. So Rabbi Shmuel says, the Pasuk is referring to the Meitav of the Nizak, of the person who was damaged. What would that mean practically? So you got to get in some kind of a realtor and, you know, knows a little bit about value of real estate. Get him to look at all the different fields that the Nizik owns. So let's say, for example, the Nizik owns some property. We've gone through this already, okay? So the Nizik owns some stuff in Lawrence, and he owns some stuff in Muncie, he owns some stuff in Nebraska. He owns some stuff that we're trying to figure out. So what is the, you know, what is the highest quality land of the Nizik? And then the Mazik presumably will pay the equivalent of that. That's what Metas Demetav Kami Shalim means. And what does Rabbi Akiva say? What does Rabbi Akiva say? Rabba Kosli Vasu Zikim in a Mazik. Leaders in a Mazik. Rabbi Akiva says no. The word Metav Sadeh Hu, to who? The Karmo of the Pasuk is referring to the Mazik's land, not the Nizik's land. So the Gemara says, my Nafkamina. It's a big Nafkamina. Who saw the Sugi? What does the Gemara say? What if you have the following? What if we come to the realization that the Idis of the Nizuk, the best, highest quality stuff of the Nizuk, happens to be the same equivalent of the what? Of the Ziburis, of the Mazik. The Mazik is a really, really rich fellow. The Mazik, the Mazik's got really, really high quality stuff. So now, if you follow Rabbi Shmuel Shita, that you just simply get away with paying the Idis of the Nizuk, so that's tantamount to saying the Mazik's going to give away his garbage, he's going to give away his Ziburis and call it a day. So Rabbi Akiva says that's not true. That's not correct, says Rabbi Akiva. Loba kosava ligvos lezikim mina mazik. Leidis mina mazik. That you have to pay the higher quality, the best quality of the person who was paying, not the equivalent of the best quality of the person who was getting paid to. So that's a technical machlokes. It's very important machlokes. Sugya, the beginning of Vav and Beis. That's what the whole Idis sugya of two blot. Those are the two blot that we skipped. All the meitavs and all the technical details. And how do you cheshmin out what's called meitav? But Rabbi Akiva didn't stop at that point. What did Rabbi Akiva say? Then Rabbi Akiva added a cryptic statement at the very end. What does he say? It comes Rabbi Akiva and says, and by the way, you should just know, says Rabbi Akiva, I'm telling you, the din is that you have to pay the highest form of Idis. And then Rabbi Akiva says, and by the way, lo ba kosa lugos tigazim in Idis, v'kavachem la hektesh. And how much more so when you're mazik hektesh, you manuvo, you mushkos, your animal got loose and it damaged Hekdesh, you terrible one, we're going to throw the book at you, and Kavachim, Menashe Kavachim, we're going to make you pay the highest form of Idis whatsoever. That's the simple pshat Rabbi Akiva said. So not only does Rabbi Akiva disagree with Rabbi Shmuel's computation of what what's considered to be Idis, the Nizik or the Mazik's equivalent. Rabbi Kiva had Chiddush number two, that Kavachleimer, when you pay Hekdesh, for sure you're going to have to pay the highest possible around, because being Mazik Hekdesh is a worse Aveiris, more of a Mechaev, than being Mazik as a Hedyot. So we just explained Rabbi Kiva according to face value. So the Gemara says that's absurd, that is ridiculous, the Gemara says. How in the world could Rabbi Kiva make such a statement? So the Gemara in the Vav and Beis begins to pick away at Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, my Kavachem Hekdesh, what's the case? Ilema de Nagach Teredi Don Le Teredi Hekdesh. If Rabbi Kiva meant to say that a regular ox gored a Hekdesh to an ox, Shorei Eira Machamon of Lo Shoshal Hekdesh, that cannot possibly be, because the Torah says Shorei Eira of Lo Shoshal Hekdesh. So that cannot be Rabbi Akiva meant. And then the Gemara is going to go spend the whole Zion and outside to figure out what did Rabbi Akiva mean. But one thing he could not possibly have meant is that a Shohedyot attacking a Shohektesh, that cannot be Rabbi Akiva meant. That's impossible. Why? Because that is contradicted by the phrase of Shorehu. Atkan Divrei Kushas HaGemara. Now, how does this begin to become relevant for us? What is the underlying problem in this Gemara? There's a basic, almost flaw in the logic of this Gemara. What is the problem? What did the Gemara just do? The Gemara just mixed apples and oranges. What did the Gemara just mix?
Applying the rules of Nezek to Hekdesh. Well, that's the opposite of what we said.
That's exactly what the Gemara is asking. Rabbi Akiva said, you have to pay Hekdesh. Come from the Hekdesh. The Gemara says, what? That doesn't make any sense. Shorei Eilam Rachamana.
Using Shorei
Eilam
as a Torah
for all. Well, how do you know Rabbi Akiva was talking about? How do you know which original Mazik we were talking about? What was Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel talking about? Rabbi said, which case? Were they talking about Eish? Were they talking about Boaz? Were they talking about Mazik? What were they talking about? The Torah only speaks about Meitav, at least explicitly. I never heard of Tachas Zivu Shabbos. I don't know about 4 weeks Zivu Shabbos yet. But the only time the Torah actually talks about the phrase Meitav is in the context of which Mazikin, Rabbi say? Shein V'regel. Ki Yav V'ir Sadech Erem V'shilach. V'shilach Zewat? V'shilach what? Zeregel. U'biyer B'steach U'biyer Zeha. Shein. Hozeh Nema Meitav Temetav Kamishah. So there's no question that the original Pshuta Shemikra of Meitav is talking about Shehein, is talking about Regel, and that's what Rabbi Akiva is talking about. Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel were fighting about that pasuk. They were arguing about the parasha of Meitav as it relates to Shehein Regel. Comes the Gemara from left field in the bottom of Vav and Beis and says, oh, by the way, if you think that we're talking about Nogach Shor Shalonu L'Shor Shalhektis, if that's what you dream in your wildest imagination, that's what we're talking about, can't be Shorei Ramachamana. But stop, hold the phone. The penalty mark flags down all over the play. What is the Gemara talking about? The Gemara just made an unbelievable jump. I'm talking apples, you're talking oranges. I'm talking Shane Varegel, and now you're talking Karen. How in the world did the Gemara extrapolate from Karen, from Shara A, which is written by Karen, and jump and ask, Zetman Fandara, a Shane Varegel, he can't possibly be Chayav. How did the Gemara know that? So Rashi, on the spot, fills us in. On the base. And what does Rashi say? Rashi says, what is Rashi saying? For who adim the choshan azikin? It's munach in that line of the Gemara. Rashi says the im nug of shosh lehekdesh potter. For who adim the choshan azikin? Shemazgim lehekdesh potter. So it's this sugya that led Rashi to say what he said in the test of the Beis. Don't blame Rashi on the test of the Beis. Rashi is giving you the source that you only chayef and the chosim shemem meila because mazgim lehekdesh is potter. How did Rashi know that? I said, how do I know that? You end up of the Beis. So don't blame Rashi, but blame the Gemara. What's the Gemara talking about? How did the Gemara know to make that jump? How did the Gemara know to make that bridge, to cross that bridge from Keren to other Mazikin? So what do you think the answer to that question could be? What are some possible suggestions to that answer to that question are? Do we have reason to believe that we can cross that bridge? Do we have reason to believe that we shouldn't look at each of the Mazikin so separately, but we should almost look at them almost like a package deal? They didn't really do carry over one from another. So we have a throwback to the last sugya. We already know that there are certain similarities between all the different Mazikin. What were the four magic words that taught us that? Tachas Asinu Yishalem Kesef. So maybe Tachas Asinu Yishalem Kesef is the driving force. That's the engine behind the Vav and the Beis. Maybe that's the engine behind Rashi and Tesim and Aleph. That even though it's true the Pasuk of Shore Eyo was Tacha only written by Karen, but maybe we have a right to extrapolate. We can jump from Karen, we could jump to Shane Varegel, maybe we could jump to Bor, to Adam, to Eish, maybe we can jump around. That's good for what Tacha Sisir Sham Kesef teaches us. So now that we're so smart that we learned our family days, now we know what's going on in the Tessin days. That would have been a suggestion. So Tosus throws that up as a straw man, and Tosus immediately knocks that down. Why does Tosus reject that? What's the problem with that? The problem is that is clearly not true. Because anyone who ever learned the first couple of lines of a comma realizes immediately it's not true. How do you know? Prove to me that Tachas Shir Sham Kesef cannot be the source to equate, to make everything one big happy family of Mazikin. Because we all know what? What do we know? What? Well, we know what? They're the Pturim. We know that Shane Revel's Pturim is a Rabbim. That's not true by other things. We know Boris Pturim and Caleb, not true by other things. We know Asia's Pturim and Tom, not true by other things. We know Chatira. Nobody would ever say that the Arabs and Zikin are all the same. If you're going to tell me that Tachas Hashin and Shalom Kesef is going to equate everything and make it one big package of Nazikin, that's going to undermine the first part of the Bava Kama. So, Elawat, but what do you do with this Gzeri Shava? So, Akkorcha, what is Taisus right? What is Taisus right? On the Bava Mabez. Taisus writes, Akkorcha, on his Kabla, didn't I put this on his toes on the Mamma Kamas? Number four, there you go. Akkorcha, on his Kabla, Gzeri Shava, Elul Indian what? Elul Indian Mesa Vulvad. It means when you have a Gzeri Shava that equates words, that connects words, so Gzeri Shava is a halacha Moshe Mesinai. So not only is the wording itself a halacha Moshe Mesinai, the application is a halacha Moshe Mesinai. It means you can't take a Gzeri Shava and say, well, everything is the same. They're same, look at all Dini HaTorah. Let's say on a Moshe, what's one of the most famous Gzeri Shavas around? One of the most famous, come on, Kedushin HaBeis, come on. Kichich Misteyafer, okay? So what does that mean, Kichich Misteyafer? That means women are exactly like fields for everything. That's what it means. For anything and everything, a woman is like a field. It means lamoshal. If a person hands their wife a bouquet of flowers on Shabbos, the chaybishim zareya, and if they take it back from her, the chaybishim kaitzer, that's silly, right? Your wife's not a piece of real estate. So what does it mean? It means the gabbis this particular prat of what of kicha mister Ephraim, that there's a Kenyan kether. Again, Gzeri Shavas have to be taken with a grain of salt. You have to know how to apply the Gzeri Shavas properly. It's not enough just to know what the Gzeri Shavas is. You have to know how to apply it properly. So it is clear to anyone who ever opened up a comma that Tachas Hasin Sham Kesef is not the end all. It's not a free-for-all. It's not a freebie. Everything is covered. That's ridiculous. So Taisa says, Obazoi, that Tachas Hasin Sham Kesef clearly was not given as a across-the-board Gzeri Shavas. So we're back to square one. How in the world did the Gemara know to make that jump? How did the Gemara know to go from the Shura Eyo that was written primarily by Karen? How did the Gemara know to make the bridge to Shane Varego? So Rashi says in the Daf Tes, it's clear in the Daf Tes that it's true. It's clear in the Vav that it's true, but we're still missing the piece of information. How did the Gemara know to be able to make that jump? So there is a startling opinion in Rishonim that says that the question is better than the answer. That in Hochinami, the jump is an illegitimate jump. It is an incorrect jump. You do not have a right to make that jump. And the din is, says this Rishon, that in Hochinami, Karen is Potter and Hekdesh, but guess what, guys? Shein Varega what? Is Chayev and Hekdesh. Show me a Gemara, show me a Mishnah, show me a Sugi that says that Shein Varega is Potter and Hekdesh. There's no such Gemara. Which Rishon is this? Who's the one who says this? Rabbeinu Yeshaya, quote in the Shittim Kibetz, Rabbeinu Yeshaya takes on Rashi, takes on the world, takes on all the Rishonim and says, I don't believe that Shem V'Regel is actually Potter and Hekdesh. I think it's really Chayav. Show me, bring me a Pasuk, Shor Eil. That Pasuk is not talking about Shem V'Regel, it's talking about Karen. Who is the Re'eil, by the way, in the Shor Eil? Who is Re'eil referring to? The owner, right? Ki go Shor Ish or Shor Eil, right? Means, I'm Reuven, your name is Shimon. So you're my friend, you're my colleague, you're my neighbor. So if my ox goes your ox, that's called Shura Eyu. If you are not my friend, not my colleague, not my neighbor, you're a Hekdesh, so that's not the Chayav. Why do I say that? That Re'eyu obviously refers to the person. What does it not refer to? It doesn't refer to the ox, right? What? Ibn Ezra quotes an interpretation that he's not too thrilled with. He says that a certain person, when they translated the Chumash, so they wrote, Chiyigov Shura Ish Shura Eyu. That means that if an ox gores its friend, I mean, give me a good name for an ox. Bessie. That doesn't sound very scary. Give me a better one. That sounds like more like the best, like the short, like the ox's wife. Right? Give me a name of Shore. Come on. Sonny, yeah, that's good. Sonny. That wasn't nice. That really wasn't very nice. Okay. Give me another one, Sonny. Okay, let's get another one for me. What? Come on, come on, something creative.
Name?
Yeah.
Hefe.
Hefe?
Hefe.
Like heifer?
No, Hefe.
Hefe?
It's Spanish name.
For ox?
Yeah, it's scary.
Okay. All right. So you got Sonny and Hefe, okay? So Sonny's good friends with Hefe, and Sonny gores Hefe. So the Ibn Ezra says, that's what Shara Ehu means. So the Ibn Ezra was so not impressed with the Strat. Anyone remember what he said about the Strat? He says that ox don't have friends. He said, that's a silly, silly interpretation. The word Re'ehu, people have friends. Ox don't have friends. And the Ibn Ezra says, if the ox would ever have a friend, the only friend the ox would ever have is the person who said this beyond the apostle. No, he would be a good friend of the ox. That was Ibn Ezra's. You have to like really have a certain degree of shtach to be able to give a shtach like that. Okay, so basically getting back to that story. So Rabbi Yeshaya says that the premise that we've been saying, the Rashi, the simple beyond the Gemara, is push it wrong, it's not true. There never was an extrapolation from Keren to Shein V'Regel. So what in the world does the Gemara mean in Davav HaMabez? And the Gemara says, well, Ilema Nagach Tardan Tazhaktesh or Eyuksiv says Rabbi Yishai the following Pshat. What was the goal of Rabbi Akiva? What was Rabbi Akiva's whole thrust? Why is Rabbi Akiva even talking about Hekdesh? He's trying to tell you that we really, really come down hard on the Mazik. And therefore, you, Rabbi Yishmael, you are very soft on the Mazik. You let him get away with paying the Iddis of the Nizak. No way, says Rabbi Akiva. Lo ba'a kosa ligvos lezikim in a Iddis, that the Torah is coming down very, very hard on the Mazik. And therefore, when you have Ziburis of the Mazik, you will use the Nizak. We're not going to let you get away with just paying the garbage, paying the Ziburis. We're going to up the ante and make you pay your Iddis. That was Rabbi Akiva's punch. That was the thrust of Rabbi Akiva. That were very, very, very strict, very, very machmer on this Mazik. And then Rabbi Akiva says, and by the way, and you want to know, how would we treat someone who's Mazik? Hekdesh, we would throw two books at him, not one book. We come down so hard on him because Mazik Hekdesh is so much more profoundly chomor, and therefore, for sure, you got to pay the Iddis of the Iddis of the Iddis. That's the Gemara Shach V'Tayr. So it's on that the Gemara says, wait a second, is that true? Says Rabbi Nishai in the Gemara. Is that true? That Mazik is a Hekdesh is so chomor? There are cases, catch what I just said, there are certain cases, I didn't say this case, there are certain cases where Mazik is a Hekdesh happens to be, believe it or not, what? But the, for example, that one bizarre, crazy case of Mazik Hekdesh is Pata is what case? Keren. And therefore, once I've identified that every once in a blue moon, once in a while, Mazik is a Hekdesh is actually Pata, then what does that undermine your what? No Kavachim anymore. Kavachim, Rabbi Shmolom, the guy's name Chachmas, Rabbi Shmolom, you can only have a Kavachim when A is really, 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 truly Mohammed than B. But as soon as you have a pircha that indicates that B is Muhammad and A, then Ois Kavachayim, Kavachayim is just self-destructed. Says him in Yeshaya, the Gemara was not commenting, like Rashi said, in saying that I'm really truly putter on Shein V'Regel as a Hekdesh. That's not true, because Shorei Elok Sivsham. There is no Yafus, you cannot compare one to another. But all the Gemara meant to say was, how can you tell me a story that Kavachayim al Hekdesh, your Kavachayim is Shnei, Kavachayim is incorrect, because the din of Mazik as a Hekdesh to Keren undermines the Kavachayim that you're talking about, even though we're not even talking about Keren, we're talking about Shein V'Regel. What a pshah for a mini Shaya. Wow, Gavaldik, Mardik, a pshah for a mini Shaya. He just pulls the whole sugya out from under us, that there is no ptur of Mazik b'Shein V'Regel as a Hekdesh. But notwithstanding this razzle-dazzle pshat in the Gemara, all the other Rishayim learned like Rashi, the simple pshat in the Gemara is like Rashi, and there's something that bears out Rashi's pshat. What is it ultimately that bears out Rashi's pshat?
And in this case...
What? Which case?
No,
what bears out Rashi? Rabbi Yishai just gave you an alternate pshat in Davav, so Davav is not going to lose any sleep over Davav. What sugya is clearly bearing out Rashi's pshat? What is it? Which sugya, huh? What page? What daf? Our sugya daf test. Why? Because what does that Mishnah say? And Mishnah says, Nechosim she'ein b'mil agam. Mishnah talks about Hekdesh. Is our Mishnah talking about Keren necessarily?
No.
What is that Mishnah a continuation of? Of the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah says, there are Abba Abbas and Zikin. Now that we identify the Abbas and Zikin, let me tell you a little bit about them. It says the Mishnah Daf Tes, that none of them apply when it's Hekdesh. What are some of the things on the list of the Abba Abbas and Zikin? What were they? There was Shor. Okay, Shor, we can say Karen. Four. Okay, we'll talk about that later. But what's it? Ma'avim. Stop, hold the phone. What was Ma'avim exactly? Anyone remember what was Ma'avim? It's been so long ago. Ma'ava was according to, wasn't it Machlekes who and who? Rabbi Shmuel. Rav said Ma'ava was Adam, and Shmuel said Ma'ava is Shane. Shane, uh-oh, that's Shane Varegel. So comes Tyson and says, you want to tell me a story in the Avavim and Beis that the Gemara didn't really mean to say it faulty? You want to tell me Ashtiko Torah like I'm in Ishaya Kenzai, maybe. But in Daf Tes, you can't say that. In Daf Tes, the Mishnah doesn't say it. The Mishnah says, Kol Shechat, Ishbiras, Ishchat, the Mishnah is the Chos, the Mishnah is talking about every single ma'atik, for sure the Abba Abbas Tzadikin, that's not a question. And therefore, to say that if you're ma'atik Dechshen Veregel, as a hekdesh, you're going to be chayav, very, very, very hard to believe. So Taitzis concludes for textual reasons, the Mishnah of Tessa Mabez, the simple Pshatik Manda of Mabez, everything and everything is pointing in the direction of Rashi's Pshat, unlike Rabbi Yishayish Tichot Torah, and we're back to school, we're back to the bridge. So now that we're back to the bridge, so what's the source that Shein Veregel is Potter? There's only one source. The source must be Keren. And that leads us to question, what right do we have to cross this bridge? Do we have a right to extrapolate from Keren to Shein Veregel? So basically, let's make the question even harder, even sharper. Not only do we question the ability to go from Keren to Shein Veregel, we have reason to believe that we cannot go from Keren to Shein Veregel. What is the reason? What's a good reason to believe, hey, you have no right to jump from Keren to Shein Veregel? What is it? In the hierarchy of Mazikin, which is Mohammed? Proof to me that Shein Veregel is Mohammed. It's a very, very simple proof. What's the proof? Yimur Mitzchili, you pay Nesek Shalom from day one. So Shein Veregel has certain qualities Keren doesn't have. Now, the Emes Labito is, Keren has certain qualities Shein Veregel doesn't have. For example, what? Keren's Chayav where? And where? Even Rosh Hashanah, Shein Veregel's not. So, if I had to tell you which is more Chomer, I couldn't answer that question. Because this is chumah that in mazikin it's always hard. It's bor mochamad than eish mochamad than sheh. It's hard to say they're different from one another. But one thing I can say is that because we know for a fact that keren has certain kulas, whatever they are, that one kula already is one. The kula that you only pechatin nazik mitchila, that in of itself is enough to rock the boat. That's enough to throw into question the validity of the yalfusa. So any kind of Yafusi you want to learn, you want to call it a Kavachaymim, a Matina, whatever you want to say, that when jumping from Keren to Shein Veregel, Taisa says this is really, really difficult. It's difficult to make that jump because conceptually Ben Ishai is right. Ben Ishai is very, very compelling argument that he's right, that we can't jump from one Mazik to another because there are kulas that Keren has that Shein Veregel don't have. So we are now back to square one. Now we're almost bumping into that conflict that we don't like to have. It's textual versus conceptual. Textually, Rashi's Pshat is simpler. The Mishnah Daf Tes is a clear giveaway to Rashi's Pshat. The Vavam Abayz, in a million years, you wouldn't have thought of any Shai's Pshat. So there's no question textually Rashi's Pshat is clearer, cleaner, simpler than Rabbeinu Yeshaya. But conceptually, Rabbeinu Yeshaya seems to have the upper hand. Because how can you learn from Keren directly to Shein Veregel? So Tosfos is going to walk their own path in this again. Taisa is going to say everyone has a point. We're going to tell you what the real answer is, Taisa. There is no question that Rashi is correct, Taisa. There is no Shaila under the sun. The Mishnah Daf Tes is a proof positive to Rashi Shita. On the other hand, the question Rabbi Yishaya raised, how can you derive one from another, one is clearly more lenient than the other, is a very, very compelling problem, very compelling question. So therefore, Taisa went searching. Taisa says, you know, to jump from Keren to Shein Veregel is not a direct one. It's not an easy one. Not a simple one. Not a simple feat to accomplish. But since Tosfos, we could do it. You know why we could do it? Because we can get some help. We don't have to go from Keren directly to Shein Veregel. We can throw some other things into the mix, some other things into the chillin, and start to create our own, what? This is like reminiscent of things we spoke about much earlier in the year. When you can't accomplish to learn A to B, sometimes doing A plus C to B may be a little bit easier. Because once you start to collect data, collect information, you may be able to create a what? Not just a simple mematzino, but almost like a what? one was like a tzadashava, like a matzad, and that may be a little bit easier to go. And so Tosus begins to search. They start to press the buttons above Kamata Bays and start looking around. What are we looking for? Before you run a search, you have to know what you're searching for. What are you looking for? We know the din is by Karen, that's part, that's no question, and we want to know if we have a right to go to Shein Varego. So we know this by Karen, there's a Patur Hektish, and we know that we're going to fall short going directly, just going one-on-one from A to B is not going to do the trick. So we're looking for what? What other things are we looking for? Other what that are what? If we don't know what we're looking for, we're not going to find it. Other mazikin, that what? That, well, I don't know how soon I want this to be the carrot. I need other mazikin, that or what? I need one characteristic. What is it? That a part of Hektish. That is what I need. I have to search high and low to find if I can start to add other to them. So what I got? Karen, I got. We're looking for mazikin, hapturin, the Hektish. That's the goal of today's sisters. So Karen, I got a posuk, sure, Ayo, no problem, right? Okay, if Ebenezer's going to help me, great. I need number two. Because I want to get to the end, I want to get to Shein Varego. There is no possible Shein Varego, obviously. So I'm starting to look fine, So give me some ideas, help me out here, says Tosis. Give me a mazik that's potsuk Hektish. So Tosis came up with a pretty creative one. You know what it is? Who knows? Bor is potsuk and Hektish. If an animal of Hektish falls into a boar, potter. Vishtate, it doesn't say, Kiftach ish boar shore'eyu, v'nopo shama shor shore'eyu, chamor shore'eyu, it doesn't say any of that. So how in the world did Tosfos know right away that boar is potter? And again, they need boar to be potter desperately, because they want to start making tzad ha'shaves. So Tosfos says, I'll tell you how. It's a kavachomer that boar is potter. What's the kavachomer, anyone know? What is boar potter on that we know for a fact? Give me some things we know for a fact, boys, but give me the famous one. Shor v'lo adam, chumav v'lo kid. Those are the easy, those are the sins she wants. Give me another quirk that Boris Potter on. Just happens to be, those who learned the fifth pekham of a kam will know this, and hopefully we get stuff here, we're going to talk a lot about this. It happens to be another p'tur that Bor has. Boris Potter, catch this one, on psulei ha-mukdashin. Who? Well, what does that mean? Psulei ha-mukdashin means as follows. A makdish, an animal, bring to the basic mikdash as a korban, and then it develops a mum. It develops a mum, so I can't bring it as a korban anymore. So what do I do? So it depends what kind of a korban it was in the first place. If it was an old shlom and that kind of a korban, what do I have to do to it? I have to be pulled it. I have to take the side money and use that money to bring another korban. That money gets kedushas korban to it. And what happens to this animal? It's what's called in halacha psulei hamukdashin. It means it was a korban and now it's nifsa for being a korban. Most of the time, when I have an animal that's kodesh and it gets a mum, I have to do an actual pidyon to it in order to be mafkir the kedusha. Everyone knows the exception to that. There are two karbonos that don't require pidyon; they just lose their kedusha automatically. Anyone knows what they are? Bechor and ma'isa behema. Okay, so bechor and ma'isa behema, that if it gets a mum, you can't bring it as a carbon. There's no question about it. And unlike the old shlom chatas ashram etc. that require a pidyon, it's just the kedusha disappears by itself. Now, when we say that it loses its kedusha, either through the mechanism of pidyon for other karbonos, or just simply through the nefilas mum by itself by bechor and ma'aser, that's a very very tricky statement. It loses its kedusha, not in its entirety. It loses kedusha vis-a-vis certain halachas. For example, I can now shecht it where chutz. Right, that's a positive chumash. Super pashas rei. I can now go ahead b'sharechet chlenu. I can shecht it chutz l'mikdash. I don't have to be careful about the dibur of tumah v'tahara. How do I know that? What does it say in the chumash? B'sharechet chlenu hatamei v'toy chlenu chatziv v'chayol. So all the dibur of tumah v'tahara, all those dinim all fall by the wayside. Okay. However, there are a few dinim that still do exist. A handful of them. Anyone know what they are? Just some odds and ends. Almost like some remnants of kedusha. And then what? You're not allowed to work it anymore. Lo savim b'chosherecha still applies to it. What else? Lo sagos b'chotzenecha applies. That's a complicated. Okay. Lo savim b'chotzenecha applies to it. You still can't shear the wool. So you have a handful of dinim that apply to it. One of the dinim that apply, and again, we're going to hopefully spend a lot of time in this in that view because that's where the primary sug is. One of the dinim that applies to psulei hamukdashin is you can eat it V'yachalta b'sherecha, v'yachalta below the klavecha. The dogs, you can't feed it to the dogs. So you, as a human being, can eat it, but you can't, you can shecht it and eat it, the kashrus, don't feed it b'tara, don't feed it kosher. You can't just shoot it and then feed it to the dogs. Or if it dies by itself, you can't feed it to the dogs. Below the klavecha. Okay? Again, hopefully we'll talk about this much more in the field. Now what's the problem by saying? How does this impact the Hilchos Bor? Comes the Gemara and says, and Daf Yud, and then later on the fifth parak. When it comes to Bor, there's a major, major condition necessary for you to be chayv and Bor. What is that? Baal HaBor Yishalem Kesef Yashiv Levo'olav. What? Who will be under the Pesuk? The Hameis Yelohu. And the mace, the dead animal, is for him. By the way, just as an aside, what's the problem with that pasuk again? By golly? Who's the low? Is the low the Mazik or the Nizik? That's a whole nother story. So let's learn it like Father Tashra Pest says it's low. It's going to the Nizik, okay? The mace yellow. The Nizik gets to keep the dead animal, gets to keep the carcass. What's he going to do with it? The mace yellow? What's he going to do with it? He can't eat it because it's what? The animal fell into the boar, wasn't shechted yet. What can he do with it? He's got to feed it to his dogs. So the Torah describes the Nizak walking away with the dead animal and using it for whatever shape of his dog. He's going to put it to his alpo, feed it to, give me a dog's name. Come on, give me an, if you say Sunny, it's not nice. Scooby?
Scooby-Doo.
Okay. Fido. What's that big guy? What's the big red dog again?
Lefford.
Okay. So I have this animal. The animal died. The shore fell in, and now I'm going to feed it to Clifford. So if I could feed the dog, feed the dead ox to Clifford, that's the chiv bor. But if for whatever reason there's something that's preventing me from giving my big red dog something to eat, that's the problem. That's not called bor. And al zeh lo chiv ater bor. And al zeh nemetesh b'peh, bor is potem b'psula mugdashin. Because there's a quirk in Parshas Re'eh that says, v'chad lo klavecha. Therefore, in Parshas Mishpatim, the Meis Yellow comes La'afuga, comes to exclude Sula B'Kedoshim. So catch this one. Who owns Sula B'Kedoshim? Who's the rightful owner of Sula B'Kedoshim? Who's really the owner of Sula B'Kedoshim, truthfully? Who? The owner of the animal. He could shecht it, he could do almost anything with it. So it's his. It's not what? What is it not? Sula B'Kedoshim is not what? It's not Hektesh. It belongs to him. It belongs to him. He can catch an issue with Sula B'Kedoshim. So if Sula B'Kedoshim belongs to the owner, he is the Bailam on it, there are certain halachic limitations, certain things he's not allowed to do with it, but fundamentally it's his. So Bor is a quirk that Bor is part of Sula B'Kedoshim. By the way, other mazikin chayev. If my animal gores a shore of Sula B'Kedoshim, chayev, because it's called Shereihu. That's the Gemara in the fifth parak of Bava Kamma. So Bor happens to be part of Sula B'Kedoshim because of a quirk exerts a kosov. Says Tosfos, well, if it's potter am sula b'kedoshin because you can't feed it to the dogs, what other kind of an animal will you obviously for sure be potter on because you can't feed it to the dogs either? What is that? What if it's, forget sula b'kedoshin, what if it's real b'kedoshin? What if it's real hektish? It's hektish that doesn't have a mum. So Reuben was makdish an animal to the base of b'kedoshin. It's a tumim, it's no mum on it, and it falls into a boar. Is the boar going to have to pay? What's the answer? What? For sure not. In the chalak of a meisiel of the mizeh, madach psula b'kedoshim, which does belong to the nizak, after bichein the Torah exempts you because of a quirk of the meisiel lo mishameisiel lo, kavachayim of hektish mamish. So says tells us, believe it or not, there is a pasuk, there is a source in Chumash that bor is pater madikin up term hektish, bor is one of them. What's the mokor? The hameis lechulei. That's the source. Even though Vameis is not even talking about Hektish, Vameis is talking about Pesulim Hakdashin, Kavachoyver, that he put there on Hektish Mamish. So we have two Pesukim. So you know, two Pesukim is not bad. Two is better than one. Tov Shnayim and Echad. So we have a combination of Keren, a combination of Bor. We're on a roll. So he says, you know what? We're going to make it even better. We're going to make three Pesukim. Why not? The more the merrier. I'm going to find you another Pesuk that says, Amalatik Abtur Mehektish. What's the third Pesuk? Tells us, look around, search around. Adam Hamazik. Adam Hamazik is Potter and Hektesh. Really? Where does the state? Where does it say this? Where in the world does it say the Chumash Adam Hamazik is the Machanesh Rebbe Shomena? Where does it say you're Potter on Hektesh? What's the answer? What does the Taisa say? No one saw the Taisa? Anyone see the Tosfos yet? No, not yet. A little bit. Tosfos says on Daf Tes, Ach on Daf Vav Beis. Tosfos collecting sukkim. Tosfos says. There you go. And they reference the Gemara Mitzvah Daf Tzadi Tesla Beis. The Beferish Apostle, Ki Yoichol, if you eat, in contrast to a Mazik, oh, Mazik is Potter. Your Mazik, or the Mazik is Potter. What exactly is that Apostle talking about? Ki Yoichol Kodesh Bishkog, let's talk about holy things. So Tosfos is learning that the holy things of the Pasuk must be Hekdesh. And the Pasuk is saying, if you eat Hekdesh, then you're Chayav, because you enjoyed Hekdesh. But if you just take a, you just step on Hekdesh and you throw it against the wall and you break it and you destroy that that fruit of Hekdesh, so then you're Potter. And that's the Raya, that's the Mark, or the Mask is Hekdesh, or the Mask is Potter. Kiyecha Pratla Hekdesh, because after all, everybody knows this Pasuk is talking about Hekdesh. Who read this Tosfos? Who just read Tosfos together with me? Okay? So Tosfos just referenced by Mitzvah Daf Tzadi Tesla Mebeis and says, "Aha, Kiyachol Kodesh Bishkaga. This is the source for other Mazik is Potter. Kiyachol Prat Lamazik, and of course, everybody knows that we're talking about Hekdesh. Yeah, as the Torah itself says, Kodesh, Kodesh of course means Hekdesh. If anyone would bother to open up a Chumash in Parshas Emor, they would come to the realization that this pasuk is not talking about Hekdesh. It says holy, but holy means there are a lot of holy things out there." What's it all about, Truma? Can anyone tell me what the pasuk is really talking about? Can somebody fill me in what the pasuk is talking about? V'ish ki yachal kodesh b'shkagah v'yasav chamish yisrael lov v'nasal lechoyen es hakodesh. Does that sound familiar to us? What's it talking about? It's talking about a fellow Yisrael, a non-kohen zah, who ate Truma by what? By mistake. He forgot, he didn't realize it's Truma. Ki yach b'shkagah. And the Torah says, what do you have to pay? You have to add on a fifth, and you have to give a nasa l'kainas ha-kodesh. What does that mean? Chazar from last semester. What does the ha-kodesh mean? You have to pay back what? You have to pay back fruit. You can't just write a check to the kohen. You have to give back fruit. Davar relios kodesh. That's tashlumei truma. Who remembers? Come on, little chazar. Because the Torah says you have to pay dafkan fruit, what does that lead us to believe? Who remembers? What didn't emanate from that? The fact that you pay back dafkan fruit. Who remembers? That's one reason why, perhaps. Well, the coin can't be Michael. Remember that? Toys in the Rosh. This ring bells back from a long, long time ago. Okay. Maybe that's the reason that you pay Lefi Mida, not Lefi Domim. Does that ring a bell? That you evaluate not so much on the market value, but you pay based on what the weight is, right? That enough community eat Truma of Chometz on Pesach. I see like some recollection. It's fascinating. Like a psychological study of how the memory is beginning slowly, but I see some eyes beginning to open up. Okay? But one thing we know for a fact, whether you were with us last semester or not, when you open up a Chumash in Parshas Emor and you read those psukim, Kiyach HaKadosh Bishkaga, we are not even talking about Hekdesh. The Pasuk is talking, Yitchila V'Yatzoif, about Truma. So it's a rather startling Tosfos. The Tosfos is really pulling the wool over. Tosfos is assuming that you're not going to bother challenging them and opening up a Chumash. So it says, oh yeah, Kiyach HaKadosh Bishkaga, oh, my Hekdesh is Potter. What's Pshat in Tosfos? So Tosfos clearly had something in their minds, and without telling you, they probably had in the back of their minds sugyas in Maseches Me'ilah. But the Gemara tells us in Maseches Me'ilah that there are certain similarities between the chait of somebody inappropriately eating truma and the chait of somebody inappropriately being nenem in a hektish. Now, the ikaron, the different isurim, one is mel behektish and one is echal truma, so they're not identical isurim. But they are close enough, similar enough, that we can actually derive halachas one from another. What gives us the chutzpah to derive halachas? They're different halachas, so we can't just stop derive one from another. So the Gemara tells us, what's always the good vehicle, the good mechanism to allow us to extrapolate one to another? What's the famous principle called? Must be a what? It must be a gzereshava somewhere. The Gemara says, yup, because there is a word that appears by truma and a word that appears by kodesh, and therefore we have a right to compare the two, and that's the magic word. Everyone knows the name of that Gzeir Shava? On the top list, top 10 Gzeir Shavas around? Everyone knows what it is? Chet. Chet, chet, mitruma. It says the word chet by truma, says something about chet and by truma. And it says v'chata mishkava b'kach Hashem by meila. So the Gemara is a famous Rasha, chet by truma. We have a right to compare the two. So comes the sugya of meila and tells us there are a whole list, a whole host of dinim that are derived from this comparison. So Tosfos probably had in the back of the mind that this is what's playing out in that sugya as well. This is probably what the Gemara means in Maseches Bavitzia Daf Tzadites when it speaks about Adam ki yoichal prat l'mazik. This is the source. This is the model for mazik as a hekdesh. Ide Adam mazik as potter. So Tosfos again is pulling straws out of it, trying to put together a piece here, a piece there, a piece there, because they really, really want to convince us very, very strongly that we have multiple sources of Pturim of Hektish. Just to say there's one Pturim from Keren, to jump from Keren to Shane, very, very, very shaky. To say that Rabbi Yeshaya said back at Davav that the whole thing is not true, that Taka Shama Zikin Achav and Hektish tells us he can't believe it's against the mission of Tess. So Rashi is not right, Rabbi Yeshaya is not right, Tosfos is trying to walk, to find the path of all the Mazikin of Pturim. And there has to be multiple psukim to teach us this. So they put together a series of psukim. Keren, shtei shoreyu, bo shtei v'meisi, hello, adam kiyocho, prat, lemazik, and again, with a little bit of a touch-up job, that, don't tell anybody, says Tosfos, but it's not really talking about ketchum, but who's looking, who's checking, it's all the same, chei chei mitruma, you know, ayin mesechas v'ila, and call it a day. So we have three different sources that are combining together, says Tosfos, mistama. This is the source. If you want to know how did Chazal know the Shem Regulus Potter on Hektesh, Mestama, this is where it came from. It came from this complicated whole Chesh and Shol Shikul Torah of three different Mekoros combining, merging together. This is the source. This is the source for Mazkas Hektesh being Potter. So Baruch Hashem should breathe a sigh of relief. Thank us for giving us a little bit of Shia Kloli about Mazikin, about Hektesh, showing us, learning a little Chumash together with us. And believe it or not, after all said and done, Tosfos runs into a brick wall, and they say, you know what? It still ain't going to work. It's still not going to work. Even all three psukim, they discovered every pulse, they pulled every pulse out of the hat, and they still have problems. And they still can't cross that bridge to Shane Varengo. Hopefully, Hashem, tomorrow we have to help Tosfos get over that bridge. We don't want Tosfos to sink into the water. Hopefully, Hashem, tomorrow we'll try to finish up, help Tosfos learn to sugya, and now we'll be able to highlight the Rashi on the one end, Rabbi Yeshaya on the other end, and Tosfos right back in the middle, and then try to put together some final touches. Okay, tomorrow we should have Shira.